afternoon, this is Ketchell Cook, and with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomy. On October the 16th, viewers on Signal Hill were treated to a peek through our telescopes at the so-called Hunter's Moon, not only a full moon, but also a supermoon. In other words, the moon was closer to the Earth than usual, and it looked huge, a massive buttermilk disk hanging in the sky. It's hard to believe that it's just an optical illusion that it looks so big when close to the horizon. Not only was the supermoon rising spectacularly across Table Bay, but also appearing through a line of unusual cloud formation that looked like a line of children's drawings of ocean waves. It was really beautiful. Hundreds of people now ascend Lion's Head each full moon to watch the moonrise, and you see a daisy chain of fairy lights necklacing the hill all night as the hikers make their slow way up and down. Children often believe that if you climb a mountain, you can touch the sky, and that these objects are not so far away. Of course, we know better, but it is a fact that many astronomical observatories are located at high altitude, close to outer space. And this is for several reasons. Prior to the late 19th century, almost all astronomical observatories were located at modest elevations, often close to cities and educational institutions, for the simple reason of convenience, just like the South African Astronomical Observatory here in Cape Town, which was placed close to the sea so that the ships and the sailors on the ships could see the observatory and tell the time. But that's another story. As air pollution from industrialization and light pollution from artificial lighting increased during the Industrial Revolution, astronomers sought observatory sites in remote locations with clear and dark skies, naturally drawing them towards the mountains. Sites at high altitude are ideal for optical astronomy and provide optimal seeing, which is the rather quaint technical term for observing conditions, because they're above a significant proportion of the Earth's atmosphere with its associated weather, turbulence and diminished clarity. In particular, sites on mountaintops within about 8 kilometres of the ocean often have excellent observing conditions above a stable inversion layer throughout much of the year. High altitude sites are also above most of the atmosphere's water vapour, making them ideal for infrared astronomy and submillimeter astronomy, as those wavelengths are strongly absorbed by water vapour. And for the extremely short wavelengths of X-ray and gamma-ray astronomy, along with high-energy cosmic rays, high-altitude observations offer significant advantages, enough that many experiments at these wavelengths have been conducted by balloon-borne or even by space telescopes. Ground-based high-altitude sites include the Astrophysical Observatory in Bolivia, which at 5,230 metres was the world's highest permanent astronomical observatory from the time of its construction during the 1940s, until it was surpassed in 2009 by the new University of Tokyo Atacama Observatory, an optical infrared telescope on a remote 5,640-metre mountaintop in Chile. Perhaps the most famous high-altitude observatory is on Mauna Kea in Hawaii at 4,200 metres, where there are a number of extremely large telescopes. These telescopes themselves are spectacular and beautiful, and their locations only add to their remote mystery and charm. But if you're an astronomer, engineer or computer technician who has to work in these places, it can't be that easy. Humans don't operate so well at these altitudes. Colleagues have told me about halfway houses where they must spend a few nights acclimatizing on their way to the telescopes, or specially pressurized rooms they can sit in with additional oxygen, and people are frequently ill and must be rushed down the mountain. But it's not just the extremes which affect people, and astronomers have told me how their brains just don't work up high. They can't do maths, they can't remember words, and somehow they don't feel motivated or energetic. One astronomer told me how he went to perform some observations, got to the telescope, and then couldn't remember why he was there. Back in the old days, night air was popularly thought to be harmful, despite the lack of evidence for this, but let not facts get in the way of a sound popular belief. Anyhow, the famous astronomer Caroline Herschel, who was born in 1750, declared there was nothing wrong with night air and went on to prove it by living to the age of 97, when life expectancy was 55. But apart from the cold, astronomy is not a dangerous occupation, though you may lose or gain some popular beliefs by staring at the sky at night. For now, this is Ketchell Kirkham wishing us clear skies.